This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida, and I am here with Lindsay White of Lexington, Kentucky, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June the 24th, episode 941, the special safety edition that we do once a month. This episode is brought to you by High Visibility Sportswear and Riders for Helmets.
We want you to think safe, ride safe, and be safe.
Wait a minute, 99. That gives me an idea.
You got a helmet? Oh, I've got a helmet. I got a beauty.
All right, let's roll. Hey, let's be careful out there.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning, everybody, on this Tuesday morning. We are glad to have Lindsay from Riders for Helmets back on the show today. Good morning, Lindsay.
Good morning.
It's always fun to do the safety episode with you and to chat with you again. We haven't had enough time to talk here since Rolex. We stayed at your house, but then we haven't talked since.
I know. You were like the passing ships into the night.
That's
when you left.
We use you for your spare room.
That's right, you do. I know your game.
And I had it all set that we were going to stay in your spare room during WEG, too, in 2018, but we can't do that now. It's going to be in Canada. You have to move.
I will do that just for you, Glenn. Okay. I shall move to Canada, and you and Jennifer can be my house guests.
There you go. Well,
that's right.
You know,
thank
that's
you.
Probably one place you haven't lived, you know, before, so it'd be perfect.
Then I can start saying A all the time.
That's right, with your English accent.
A.
Well, we're so excited to have you back. And I have to congratulate you because I was reading yesterday about the awards that were put on by the American Horse Publications. And your name came up for the 13th Annual Equine Vision Award in the top four. Well, that was pretty cool. You never told me about that.
Oh, I'm so embarrassed that you mentioned that. No, actually, I was really honored to be shortlisted for the awards. That was it was really exciting. But I do want to add, you know, Riders for Helmets wouldn't be where it is now if it wasn't for all of the phenomenal people that have supported the campaign and the people behind the scenes as well, because you know, there's Chad working on it as well, and Julie and Carmen, and you know, if you didn't have the team support, you wouldn't be able to do it. So, well, but yes, it was a big honor to be shortlisted for the award.
And that, you know, that's kind of a humanitarian award, isn't it? As I understand it,
I believe it is. Yeah, it's kind of for the greater good award. So it was really flattering for Riders for Helmets to be nominated. I'm not quite sure who nominated us, but thank you, whoever did. But watch this space. Maybe next year, maybe we'll win. You never know.
Look at you, award winning, or at least award nominated. You know, they always say the people that lose always say it was an honor to be nominated. So there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've had that opportunity to say that a few times here on the show. Well, Lindsay, you have some exciting things coming up, and we have a good show planned. We have Kemi O'Donnell on talking about the legislation that she has in Congress and where we're at with all of that. And then we have a good friend, Roy, from Charles Owen Helmet, coming on a little bit later to talk. And there isn't a guy that knows any more about helmet research and, you know, what's coming down the pike as far as advances in helmet technology than Roy. And he's been on the show a number of times. He's always fun to talk to, so we're going to have him on a little bit later in the show as well. So it's all about safety here on Safety Day at Horses in the Morning. But speaking of safety, we took advantage of this last year. Tell us what is coming up very shortly.
Yes, very excited. International Helmet Awareness Day is coming up on July 12th, Saturday, July 12th. And we've already got overwhelming support from all of the various helmet brands that have signed on to participate. And for those of you that don't know what that is, basically it's a special day that Riders for Helmets organises and plans and puts together. And we collaborate with the various helmet manufacturers or helmet brands around the globe who, through their extensive network of retailers, will offer a special one-day-only discount on helmets. And they're significant discounts as well. So it's definitely a good chance to replace your helmet. If you've had one of those people that have had a fall, you hit your head and you haven't replaced your helmet and it took a direct blow, just because it doesn't look like there is any damage that could very well be inside and it could be hidden. And if you fall off again, it can be very serious if your helmet has already sustained damage. So you do need to replace it. If you perhaps have a helmet that doesn't fit you properly, now is the time to take advantage of it. If your helmet's more than 5 years old, you should also be replacing it because the materials inside that protect your head do degrade over time. Or if you just want a pink helmet, for example, and you don't have one, great chance to go and buy. So do take advantage of it.
Can I throw in one other thing? If you're a Western rider and have never bought a helmet before, there are so many cool Western-looking helmets out now.
There are some phenomenal helmets that are great for the Western riders as well. So the helmet manufacturers that have signed on to participate, in no particular order, are Charles Owen, KEP Italia, Champion Hats, they're based in the UK, 1K Helmets, Ovation Riding, Devonair, Tipperary, GPA Helmets, International Riding Helmets, Sam Shield, Troxel, LAS Helmets, Antares Cellier, I pronounce that so well, Glenn.
Better than that
one. Uvex, I used to say Uvex, it's Uvex. And Gatehouse. So that's a pretty impressive list. That's like 15 different helmet brands. And you can find all of the participating retailers on the map at the website, which I'll give everybody, is riders with an S, the number 4, helmets with an S, .com/IHAD for International Helmet Awareness Day. And the map's looking pretty full already. And I would tell everybody, don't really go to the map until like July 11th, the day before Helmet Awareness Day, because the retailers are still getting registered. So we've got quite a few other countries that have just inquired this week, which we'll be putting on the map. But the US is looking pretty strong right now. The UK's got quite a few pins. I know Carmen's working on getting Australian retailers up and on, so they should be on next week. And then we've had some inquiries from Germany, France and Spain, etc. So they'll be on the map shortly too. But there's already quite a lot of retailers signed on to participate. And you can also, on that same website, you can also look on the page that says What is IHAD for International Helmet Awareness Day, obviously. And that tells you all about the event and it tells you how you can help promote it as well via social media by following our Facebook page, Riders for Helmets, following us on Twitter, Pinterest, any way that equestrians can promote the event would be greatly appreciated, because the more people that know about this, the better, because it really might just save somebody's life.
And the helmets are, what, 20% off, 10 to 20%
off? It varies, takes 20% off, but that's still a significant amount based on the cost of the helmet. So, use the opportunity. It's one day only, and it really is a great opportunity to replace your helmet. And please share your photos with us as well. So go to the Riders for Helmets Facebook page. And if you buy a new helmet on the day, do put a picture of your helmet on there or share it with us on Twitter. And we love to see those photographs. If you have a riding group or a trail group and would like some brochures sent to you to distribute, we can send you those as well. So just shoot us an email through the main ridersforhelmets.com website on the contact page, and we can send you brochures and get you the things you need. So we just basically, it's begging. We're not ashamed of that. But please, please, in any way you can, promote the event, because we had such a phenomenal worldwide, global, support of the event last year. And we'd really like everybody to be talking about it and the buzz in the, 2 weeks up to the event this year.
It really was tens of thousands of helmets sold. I mean, it was a ton of helmets. And I know, as I said, we were one of those that went out and bought. So You know, we took advantage of it as well. I think it's great, one, that you put all the time and effort into doing this and don't make any money doing it. So it's purely out of your team's hearts that this gets done. It's a volunteer thing. And it just as a reminder to do it, I think sometimes we get busy with our life and we say, oh, we're going to do that. We never do. And then all of a sudden, you know, something like this comes up and it just reminds you to go out and do it. Plus, you know, it's got to be great for the we used to own a tax shop. It's got to be great for the tax shops because you know darn well that somebody goes in to buy a helmet, that's not the only thing they're buying that day.
Yeah.
So it's got to be good for the tax businesses, too. Plus, I think it helps get people in the stores. You know, yes, a certain number of people order online, but, you know, helmets are also something you want to try on. So it gets you back to the store.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've had some phenomenal feedback from the retailers. I mean, you know, retailers in the UK, retailers in Canada and the US, I mean, they were contacting us saying, what's the date for the event? You know, we're ready to get signed up. So that's really nice position to be in. But you're right, you know, this is something that's done on a volunteer effort. And we do appreciate, you know, the support of the retailers for taking part first and foremost. And obviously the helmet brands without those guys, it wouldn't happen. But we do ask for a little bit of patience as well, because we have such a limited manpower working on this. And it is overwhelming, to say the least, with the hundreds of emails that come in the run up to the event. So if we don't respond to you straight away, we certainly will. But please just give us a little bit of time while we get through all of the emails.
Hey, Lindsay.
Yeah, go ahead, Jen.
I have a question.
Yes.
Because, and I'm sure most people don't even realize this, Riders for Helmets is a nonprofit organization and it is run by volunteers. Like you, you're the number one volunteer. Let's say, for example, there's someone listening to our Horses in the Morning show and saying, wow, I would love to help out Riders for Helmets financially or in kind. How would they contact you to do that? You know, there might be somebody out there who owns a small printing company who would love to help you print brochures. How would they contact you to do that?
Yeah, they can contact us again through the website, or it's Lindsay, LYNDSEY. At riders with an S, the number 4, and helmets with an S .com. But I do just want to correct you on one thing there, Jennifer. We are actually starting the process now of making it a 501c3, which it hasn't been. And it's actually been run and funded by myself for, gosh, since 2010. And we don't joke around when we say this doesn't make any money. My loss personally was about $3,000 on the campaign last year. And I do it out of the goodness of my heart. It's not because of the money side of it or anything else, obviously.
Well, that's a good thing.
obviously.
That was a rousing success in that case. Yeah.
Exactly.
If you want to lose money, you did well, Lindsay.
Exactly. But we are, and I've put a lot in, you know, since 2010. You times that by every year, and obviously that's a substantial sum. But I would stress that it is very difficult for us because there's so many things we'd like to do with the campaign, but you simply don't have the money to do. Obviously, making it a 501c3 will change that. And I'm so excited to announce that Courtney was recently awarded a grant of $5,000. And we're actually being donated that by Courtney King Dye, Olympian. Yeah, the Olympian that we started this all because of. Well, that $5,000 is going to be literally eaten up in terms of all of the costs of filing the paperwork for a 501c3 status and also the legal costs, obviously, to pay an attorney to make it a 501. But, you know, so that isn't really, it's going to help the campaign because obviously we couldn't make it a 501 without that donation. But I do, you know, if there's anybody out there that can help us, we would be so grateful. You know, we always are willing to share the books, my loss of money on the campaign. But if you want to place a banner ad on the website, for example, ridersforhelmets.com receives about 50,000 unique visitors per month. That's a lot of people going to the website. If you'd like to place a banner ad, we can offer one at a very reasonable cost for lots of, you know, lots of marketing exposure. If you'd like to be featured in one of our newsletters that goes out, you know, anything like that. You know, if you have a company or a product and you'd like to promote it, we would be so grateful of the support and the donation towards the campaign, which would really help us.
Very good. Well, thank you, Lindsay, for putting in the time and effort to do that. You know how we feel about helmet awareness and helmet safety here on the show. You know, Jamie and I are constantly saying it. So you know, we hope our listeners abide by it and save their noggins, because, you know, there's one, you know, we have personal example of that here with the Horse Radio Network with Tammy Serrance, who joins us once a month here for the Road to the Horse Show, and who used to host the Western Radio Show. And we've heard her story. She's been on the show a number of times, and how a head injury can affect the rest of your life. And she's one of the only Western riders out there now in the mounted shooting circuit wearing a helmet, because she values, she gets bonked again, it's going to be real trouble for her. So, you know, it's so important. And thank you for your efforts. We appreciate it.
No, thank you for...
Well, we're going to continue this topic of conversation. Why don't you? I've talked to Kemi before, and, you know, she's a good friend of yours, but some of our listeners, we did have her on the Dressage Radio Show about a month ago, but in case you haven't heard that interview, we felt it was important enough to get her back. So tell us a little bit about Kemi and why she's coming on today.
I became involved with Kemi O'Donnell, back in 2010, I believe it was now, or the end of 2010. And it's actually quite an interesting story, because obviously I'd started Riders for Helmets in around March, April 2010. And while kind of searching on Facebook, good old Facebook, for helmet campaigns and that kind of thing that we could partner with, I came across a page that was the Kristen O'Donnell Equestrian Helmet Safety Act. And I read the story of Kemi's daughter, which was so tragic, and it literally brought tears into my eyes. And I wanted to reach out to them and see if there was something that Riders for Helmets could do to promote their cause, and also them work with us and partner with us. So I actually sent, power of Facebook again, sent a message through Facebook to Kemi's daughter, who I through much searching came across, and said, could you please have your mum get in touch with me, because I'd really like to talk to her about your story and everything else. And that's how we first connected. And so I invited Kemi to come and talk at the first Riders for Helmets Safety Symposium that we held down in Wellington, Florida. And it was actually the first time publicly in 12 years that she had discussed her daughter Kristen's death. So obviously it was very emotional for her. But she is like me, in that Kemi doesn't do this for any gain. She's not affiliated with any helmet company. She doesn't make any money from promoting the cause of helmets, yet she does it. And she works at it tirelessly. And it is her passion and her drive that has fortunately allowed some good things to happen recently, which I'll let Kemi share with you. But she's just such an amazing person, and I am so honored to call her a friend, and the O'Donnell family friends. So with that, I'd like to welcome Kemi O'Donnell.
Oh, hey, Lynn. Nice to hear from you.
So I have already introduced you, but for the benefit of our listeners, could you tell us a little bit about Kristen and what happened with her accident?
Sure. Yeah, back in August of 1998, my 12-year-old daughter, Kristen, was at a lesson and wearing the traditional velvet hung cap that everybody wore back then when they rode. And her horse spooked, and she just sort of gently got thrown forward and fell on the side of her head, and was immediately in a coma, and had suffered a TBI and sadly died the following day from the injury. After that, I didn't realize that the hat that she was wearing, which I thought was a helmet, was actually a hat. And that sort of led me into this whole journey of trying to pass a piece of legislation to protect people from purchasing an unapproved equestrian helmet, and more importantly, led me to Lindsay and Riders for Helmets.
So tell us about the legislation that you tried to pass originally and tried to pass several times, actually. And just explain a little bit more for the listeners of the show, because we do have a few that are not horsey people, they're horsey husbands, and they listen in, what exactly a hunt cap is as well, if you would.
Sure. Basically, the velvet hunt cap is the traditional hat that people, as I said, wore, you know, for probably the last 100 years. And it looks exactly like a helmet. It has a chin strap and everything. But until Kristen died, I had no idea that it was actually a hat, which is a piece of apparel, and not a helmet, and therefore offers absolutely no protection for any kind of head injury, except for if you're riding through the woods, as I said, if a branch hitches you because you have like a hat on, it would protect you from that kind of injury, but nothing to do with the TBI or any kind of brain injury. So after Kristen died, the manager at the barn contacted me, and he had discovered that in Australia and the Eastern European Coalition and New Zealand, I believe, had already created legislation or something in writing that stopped the production and sale of unapproved equestrian helmets in their country. And he suggested that we possibly try to do that in the United States. So back in 1999 to 2000, I worked with Senator Dodd here in Connecticut. I'm from Connecticut, to try to pass a piece of legislation in Kristen's memory called the Kristen O'Donnell Equestrian Helmet Safety Act that would stop the production and sale of unapproved equestrian helmets in the United States. This piece of legislation has never been to mandate that anyone wear a helmet or anything like that. It's simply to make sure that a consumer such as I don't walk into a store and purchase something that looks exactly like a helmet but is only a hat. It was introduced four times throughout 2001, I believe, to 2008, and was turned down all four times for no apparent reason. The only thing that I could have come from it is that somehow, and still today, I'm still fighting this feeling that if this law went through, that somehow it was going to lead to further regulations in the equestrian world or mandating that people wear helmets. As I've always said, of course, I hope everybody will wear an approved helmet. No one wants to go through what I've been through or have someone they love or themselves suffer a TBI. But, you know, that's a whole different ball game that I've never been connected to. And I am just recently in the last year was able to have her bill picked up by Congressman Jim Himes here in Connecticut, whose daughter does ride. And when I contacted his office and he heard about this hat that's sold as a helmet, he saw immediately that it was a consumer protection issue, and he took the piece of legislation on and has introduced it in the House of Representatives. We are currently working on seeing if Senator Blumenthal, our senator, would introduce a similar text in the Senate, and we're very hopeful that he will be picking up this piece of legislation so it will be introduced in the House and the Senate simultaneously. We've been blessed to have Congressman John Larson and Congresswoman Nita Lowey, Congressman John Carney, and Congressman Elizabeth Etzi all co-sponsor this piece of legislation in the House. And that's where we are right now, keeping our fingers crossed that we can make this go through this time.
And just for the benefit of the listeners again, Kemi, just so everybody is on the same page here, there are actually hunk caps still being sold on the American market, because I know when I've talked about your crusade with a few people, they've said, well, every helmet that's out there now is like an approved helmet. And that's not actually quite true, because if you do a search, you can quite easily find hunk caps still on the market, can't you?
Yes, they're still there. I mean, I know some of the people who reach out are saying to me, oh, an approved, you know, in rated shows, you can no longer wear these hunk caps, et cetera, et cetera. But as I always say, there's hundreds of thousands of people who still ride today who aren't in the show ring, who can click online and search, you know, for helmets and the unapproved helmets. As I said, I usually call them hats because they aren't helmets and never have been, are still available readily on the Internet. I also say in tag sales, I know we can't control that, or on eBay, they're still out there. And you know, my concern and my whole mission with this whole piece of legislation is really to make sure that it just doesn't fall in the wrong hands, because I don't think anyone willingly would purchase something that is a hat that looks like a helmet if they knew that it was really offered no protection and it's not marketed, you know, properly. It doesn't, you know, have bold letters like this is a hat, this offers no protection. There's a small label that is in the inside of the hat underneath sort of like the lining. It's a yellow, orange sticker that once again says, do not remove, but it doesn't say in bold letters, this is a hat. So, yeah, they're still out there. Unfortunately, I've done my best trying to, you know, do everything I can to get them taken off the web, at least from the helmet section and put it in the hat section. But they still are readily available, unfortunately, on the web and probably in tax stores all over the country.
And I think it's important to point out that the key people that would really benefit from this as well are those parents like yourself whose children say, you know, we'd love to learn to ride, and they take them to a tech shop, go and buy something they think is protecting their head when it's really not. And then, you know, that because the parents are not horsey background, they don't know that that helmet does, or that hat doesn't offer any protection. So there, it is still an issue. It's not a cause that, you know, is irrelevant because of the fact that certified helmets are more the norm. It's, you know, while they're still on the market, there are still people that could be misled into thinking their children are protected by something that actually offers no protection.
100%, and even just the rider themselves, if you, you know, were starting the sport and you didn't know anything about it. I went into tack stores on my own. I called stores on my own just to really see what kind of information I was given, just to make sure that I was really representing this whole, like, misrepresentation properly. And almost every salesperson I talked on the phone or in a store was trying to sell me this hat, explaining that because it had a trim strap, it was actually offering protection. It just wasn't, hadn't been through the ASTM FEI safety testing. And as I said, I don't believe anybody really is trying to sell me something inappropriately. I just believe that they're not educated properly about the fact that it is a hat.
So, Kemi, that brings to mind, because equestrian sports are not the only sport that wears safety helmets. Goodness gracious, NASCAR drivers, they're about as scientific and as safety conscious as any group of sports enthusiasts are. Skiers wear safety helmets. Bikers wear safety helmets. Is there any precedent outside of the horse industry that you're aware of that requires a helmet being sold for that sport to be certified? In other words, could I go into a bike shop and buy a helmet that's not an ASTM bike helmet?
No. Interesting. Absolutely no. And that's the thing that we're saying is that I believe it's the only sort of sports-related field where all the helmets or anything that you think is a helmet isn't tested, or there's no legislation that just says that basically any helmet that this sport produces has to be, you know, ASTM FEI approved. The only one that I might believe, I don't know what's in the motorcycle world, I know there's that sort of cap that that some people wear, but they know it's not a helmet. I mean, it doesn't even look like a helmet. So I believe the equestrian world is the only sport where you can go purchase something that looks like a helmet that's a hat.
And at the risk of sounding or making mad all of our motorcycle riders, the fact that there's anybody that rides a motorcycle without a helmet's beyond me.
Right.
You know, at 60 miles an hour down the highway, I just don't get that at all.
Well,
but anyway,
there's a reason for that, Glenn. Anybody who's ever been the first person to arrive on the scene of a tragic motorcycle accident, from then on, we'll have feel just like you do.
Yes, yeah. That is true. And we saw one the other day. Jennifer and I drove by one the other day that the rider was killed. I just don't get that. A different side note, but I just don't understand that at all. Speaking of safety.
Right, and I've always said for exactly back to that, I was like, you can't even, you know, you go into car seats, you go into life vests, you know, there's certain things that when you place them on your head or on your body, you are purchasing that item because you believe it's there for protection. And I can't come up with any item except for the velvet hung cap that I've come across where a consumer will be walking into a store going online to purchase something that they believe is for protection that's not. But
why would this even be held up? This is maybe a dumb rhetorical question because we are talking about Congress. But why is this even held up in Congress? There's no lobby out there for the protection of non-approved helmets. I don't get it.
The only, you know, as I said, I've always been really forthcoming and, you know, been open to anybody who resists. I've had some notes from people who just say, you know what, because everybody, you know, it's always required to wear an approved helmet. This is sort of, you know, not a necessary piece of legislation, which I always argue those are the people who go to the shows, not all the other people riding. But underneath it, I think from one gentleman I spoke to recently when I really pushed him and was just like, just tell me honestly where this resistance is coming from for your support. His members, you were saying, they're just afraid that this would lead to other pieces of legislation that would require or mandate that people wear helmets. And as I said to them, you know, that's a whole different ballgame. This is consumer protection. And I am a mom. I was like, I have nothing to gain from this piece of legislation in the sense that Kristen died and she won't come back. I don't have anyone in my family who rides. I'm not politically connected. I've never given a dime to any organization about any of this, including politicians, because I'm just independent in this, trying to protect consumers. And I, as I said, I believe if anyone in the Congress or in the Senate could actually speak with me directly, and I've also volunteered to come down to D.C. and speak before them to just tell them that this is the only purpose of this legislation. This has been the only reason that I even tried to introduce this from day one, and there's nothing beyond this that is ever going to come from me. As I said, wearing a helmet and in the equestrian world, that's a whole different ballgame for someone else to pick up on if that's what they believe. But that's never been the purpose of this. This is really consumer protection. And I think it's just misunderstood or being misrepresented in D.C.
And I think to say that in black and white, Glenn, it basically comes down to people are scared that what Kemi is trying to implement is going to lead to trying to make cowboys wear helmets. Let's put it on the line as it is. And what Kemi is saying is basically that that is not her intention. She is not going there by any means. She's just trying to stop something being sold that looks like a helmet when it in fact is not. So they're two very, very different things. But so that's what Kemi's trying to say.
What she's trying to do is make sure the people who make imitation crab meat have a label on the front that says imitation crab meat.
Exactly.
Yeah, and people have talked about, like, you know, maybe, you know, you should just make sure the warnings are better and all that. And I was saying, you know, just like you were mentioning, there's not, I mean, I can't think of any other product out there that looks like something that's not. And people are like, oh, well, that's okay if we just label it differently. And then who's going to monitor that and who's going to control that in all the states and all the tack shops and on the web? To me, it's so silly. It, as I said, a cowboy hat looks like a cowboy hat. I don't think anyone puts that on their head believing that it's there for protection. If you wear a baseball cap when you're riding, you know, same thing. No one's wearing that thinking it's going to protect them. This is the only item that I think falls into that category. So to me, it's like it's so easy, black and white. If it's misrepresented or it can fall in the wrong hands, it just needs to be gone. And therefore, we don't have to worry about this anymore.
But it's like anything else that involves Congress. We just bang our heads and go, I don't get it. Right? I mean, isn't that like anything else? Well, Kemi, you are an excellent representative. Every time that we have you on, you know, you make things very clear, very simple, and I hope someday you get to go down there and make it very clear and very simple for the others down there. You think that this would be a no-brainer legislation. There's nobody fighting them on this. They could just declare a win in time for the election. They would have a commercial or two to run, and especially those that are in equestrian districts. And it would be a simple no-brainer. And if you have a chance, it's going to be in an election year. So let's hope.
Yeah, we'll keep my fingers crossed. As I said, and you know, as always, if anybody, I mean, we haven't had any Republicans been able to join in or co-sponsor or be willing to this piece of legislation. So I'm always reaching out to anybody and everybody who might have any connection who believes in this to see if they could find somebody who might be willing in the Republican Congress or Senate to agree to co-sponsor this valuable piece of legislation. That would be an incredible help, and I hope that Republicans will join in because I don't think it should be a party divide. I think it's about, you know, protecting all American citizens, not just one side of the political fence or the other.
It's hard to believe that this topic has a political divide at all. I mean, it's again, it's just one of those that you go, huh? Oh, well. Thank you, Kemi, for all of your efforts. You know, we were talking earlier about how Lindsay does Riders for Helmets out of the goodness of her heart and her pocket. And, you know, other than what happened 12 years ago, you have no vested interest in this now, but you still try and do it. And that's for the benefits of other parents out there who have kids that are riding. And that's the only reason. And we appreciate your efforts and you spending the time to do that all these years.
Well, thank you. I want to thank, most importantly, Lindsay for all her work for Riders for Helmets. I mean, what she has done has been incredible. And as you said, it comes out of her own time and money and, you know, from her heart, most importantly. And she has just made so many changes happen just because she simply is willing to bring people in a room with the help of Dr. Farrell, who missed this immensely, to really talk through these difficult issues and lay everything on the table and realize in the end when we put our egos down, we're all on the same page, just all trying to do the right thing for everybody. So, you know, Lindsay, you're just doing amazing, amazing work, and I will always be beside you, helping you any way I can, even hopefully when this piece of legislation gets passed.
Well, and I hope when it gets passed, we can have you back on, and we'll open the champagne.
Oh, definitely. That'd be great. I would love that. So thanks so much for all your support.
While wearing our approved helmets.
Exactly.
That's right, because you have to drink safely. So, thank you, Kemi.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Kemi.
Okay, thanks.
Well, that was Kemi O'Donnell, and you know, every time I talk to her, I'm more inspired. She is such a champion, and she's so well spoken.
She is. I mean, she's become so knowledgeable on the topic and, you know, she's put so much of her life into this, just trying to do something for the greater good. And you just are so inspired by her. You really, really are. But, you know, there is hope. Because I don't know if you've just seen this in the news. You may or may not have done, so I may be telling you something new here, Glenn and Jennifer. But did you see that the San Diego Padres reliever Alex Torres just became the first major leaguer to wear a ball cap that actually has protection inside the ball cap for your head in the event of getting struck by a ball? Because there's been several traumatic brain injuries of major leaguers actually being hit in the head by a ball and suffering traumatic brain injuries. And he has literally gone out on the pitch wearing, in a Major League Baseball game, wearing a baseball cap that's got protection built inside the cap. How about that?
I didn't even know. I never knew they made such a thing.
I know. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? I'm like, wow.
I mean, they've always worn the helmets to bat, but nobody else has ever worn a helmet. Some wear it to run, but, you know, they don't wear it out in the field.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. It looks a little bit bigger than a normal ball cap, which I'm sure they'll work on, but he says it doesn't feel any different on the head. And he just wants to protect himself. He's seen the effects of some very serious head injuries when people have been hit in the ball with a ball in the head during a game. And he doesn't want that to happen to him, and power to him. So we want to give a big shout out to him today.
And you know, anybody that's played baseball that's been hit by a ball, they're really hard.
Goodness, they pitch 90 miles an hour or something?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that would do some serious damage to your head and has done serious damage to some players' heads, you know, being hit by the ball. So, yeah, very interesting.
Well, Lindsay, we have another interview coming up here shortly, but first we're going to take a break for our song of the day. When we come back, we will have Roy on, and of course, Roy is from Charles Owen Helmet. And he's going to give us sort of an update on what's going on with helmet research. And maybe we can get him to talk to us about what's coming next in the world of helmets. And before we do that, we have our song. And I wanted to mention that the song is sponsored today by High Visibility North America, the exclusive distributor for UK's number one high visibility performance sportwear range for equestrians, horses, and canines. It offers a great range of safe yet fashionable products. The range includes everything from lightweight vests and jackets, perfect for the summer, to flashing dog collars and reflective leg boots for your horse. The range is being worn by everyone from FEI dressage riders to Dan James' 2012 Road to the Horse Champion. High Visibility are offering our listeners a special promotion for purchases made now through July 3rd. That's for the next week, a little over a week. HighVisibilitySportswear.com. You use the code RADIO at checkout to receive 20% off your entire purchase. That's HighVisibilitySportswear.com. Use RADIO, use the code RADIO, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout to receive 20% off your entire purchase. It's a great opportunity to receive a discount and keep you and your horses safe. They have lots of terrific stuff, not just winter stuff. In the past, we've talked about the winter jackets, but they have the vests, and as we said, they have the vests like Jennifer wears when she goes out and rides every day, and they have the dog collars, which are really, really cool. And, you know, just for you, for your horses, everything. This is a great opportunity, and you need to take advantage of it before July the 3rd for listeners of the Horse Radio Network. HighVisibilitySportswear.com.
Striking out on your own. I got a hug from mama, still on my mind. But daddy's little girl is doing fine. Tears in my eyes, a smile on my face. The rest of my life starts today. Well, I'm just a girl with a guitar. Thank you.
our souls, and that's good enough to keep me driving on. Well, I'm just a girl with a guitar, asking the Lord to take me far. I got a big dream and a restless heart, and I found it under my soul, yeah. Taking my chances, not knowing what tomorrow holds, hoping and praying that there's one more lucky star for a girl with a guitar. Oh yeah, a girl with a guitar.
Well, welcome back. Thank you for joining us here on Safety Day. We have Lindsay with us, who is from Riders for Helmets. And, of course, Coach Jen is in the producer chair. I am Glenn the Geek. And if you missed any of the past episodes that Lindsay has been involved with, you can just take a look on our website at horsesinthemorning.com. And, of course, you can listen to the show on our app. It makes it very easy, whether you have iOS or Android. Just go to the App Store and search for Horse Radio Network. The Horses in the Morning show is one of 10 shows that's featured on the app. Makes it very simple to listen to our shows. And Lindsay, I also wanted to mention that tomorrow morning we're back here with Jamie at 9 a.m. Eastern. And it, of course, is the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge. And it looks like by I think it was a conspiracy, I am the celebrity tomorrow because one of our listeners, Uta, has challenged me to a trivia throwdown. And what's unique this time, too, is because they were worried about collusion with me and my wife, Jennifer usually writes the questions, but no, a listener wrote the questions this time. So we have Jamie asking the question from a listener, and it's me against Uta. And Uta, like, knows everything there is to know about horses in the world, I think.
Oh, good so. Old Uta. But I yeah. tell you what, best of luck to you, Glenn.
Yeah, because I'm screwed.
You're, even with multiple choice, you haven't done that well, bless your heart. So.
No, I'm not going to be doing very well. I think Uta is a safe winner tomorrow morning for sure.
I think she might be. I'm putting my money on her. Sorry.
I see conspiracy. I see conspiracy in the works. That's what I think.
Oh, dear. That's funny.
So anyway, that should be entertaining, if nothing else, on tomorrow morning's show here at Horses in the Morning. Well, why don't you introduce Roy? I mean, we both know Roy for a long time.
Yeah, Roy is the managing director of Charles Owen, which is a company that's been around more than 100 years, based out of the UK, but sold all over the world. And Roy was talking with me recently and mentioned that he had some updates on helmet research that he wanted to share with us. So I've asked him to come on the show and tell us all about what's new, great, and good in the world of helmet research and helmets.
Well, hi, Roy. Thank you for joining us from England. We really appreciate it.
It's great, great to be on the show again, Greg.
Well, now, Roy, we've talked many times in the past about helmets and style and design and things like that, but today I really wanted to focus on, you know, we've come up with these standards and we've come up with the ratings and all of that that has gone down over the last number of years. What I assume that research does not stop with helmets, and I know that you know a lot about head injuries and helmet research and that kind of thing. Where do we go from here? What's the next step in helmet design or research? You know, where are things headed?
Well, obviously, football helmets and the controversy on that issue has really helped to focus the general public on helmets and how helmets can protect. And certainly within the football mums, there's a big question about whether football helmets are sufficient to actually still encourage their children to partake in the sport. And a number of people are sort of thinking that maybe there are other sports they should take part in because of the long-term consequences of head injuries. And we certainly don't want that to happen within the equestrian.
Right.
The equestrian sport. So, obviously, all the helmet industry is coming together to think about what we can learn and how we can take the next steps. Is it about trying to prevent, to make helmets slightly tougher and bigger to prevent against more catastrophic injuries, like, for example, in the venting with the rotational? Is there more work that needs to be done then? Or should we be focusing on the concussions and the more common injuries that we have? I mean, we have 40,000 Americans a day are going into a hospital suffering from some sort of brain injury. So it's a huge issue. And we find from research that 15% of the people that have a concussion end up having persistent symptoms from their head injury. So that's really the debate that's going on. Obviously, one of the things that came out of the helmet research with football helmets was, you know, how much can a helmet do? And that's really made us at Charles Owen really start to go back from first principles. Because I think that if we're really going to develop the next generation helmet, we can't just rely on using existing technology and just rolling it out. You sometimes have to go back and be quite radical about what you're trying to do. So, obviously, International Helmet Awareness Day is a great opportunity to be talking about where should we be going and trying to engage everybody in the equestrian community. You know, because sometimes engineers can be, you know, sitting in these committee rooms making decisions, but it's the people that wear the helmet, they're the people that really should be involved in this discussion.
And there's two things that we've always talked about in the past, and that's style and function. One of the, you know, we have multiple challenges. One is to get more people wearing the helmets that we already have, and the second is to develop helmets that are even safer than the ones we have today. So, you know, and I think we've come a hell of a long way in the first one, in that style and safety, for a hell of a long way in both of them. But, you know, there's been a concentration in the last couple of years with helmet companies, including Charles Owen, on style and making them more stylish and making them an accessory in addition to a safety feature. And I think that's come a long way into helping more people wear them.
Absolutely. In fact, on the radio show at Badminton Horse Trials this year, they actually did a whole feature on the fact that high-level eventers in England were actually turning away from the top hat during the dressage phase and actually turning to helmets. And that was really focusing on the fact that helmets were becoming more stylish, more fashionable. And, you know, with all the different options that you have with piping and contrast colors, you really can turn yourself into looking quite a smart athlete by doing that. And we do know that the power of your outfit can really enhance your performance when you're doing dressage, which just ends up with more points for you. So the clothing and helmets style is a very important part of the whole preparation for dressage. We need to... The thing is, people don't go riding saying, I'm going to have a crash.
Right.
You know, and so that's why the whole fashion thing is important, and to make it just, well, look strange. You're riding without a helmet. I mean, that's really the ultimate. England has been lucky that we've actually had a great tradition, in this country of having a helmet it's almost like going to play football and not have a helmet on. It's all part of the outfit, and you'd look really weird on a football pitch without a helmet. So it's trying to get that sort of feeling that it's just part of our normal tradition. International Helmet Awareness Day and Riders for Helmet has been really instrumental.
So going forward, where do you see the changes being made? Is it going to be made in the materials? Is it going to be made in the study of how the head injuries occur and how, you know, we can better prevent that? What are your thoughts going forward?
Well, certainly one of the things that's coming out of the research is actually about rebound. When you actually land on the ground, your skull hits first and actually rebounds off the surface, and then your brain is following And often you have a situation where your brain is traveling in one direction and your skull is traveling in the opposite, and it creates huge shear forces inside, and that's actually what causes a lot of the major injury. So one of the things we're looking at is how we can measure rebound, because helmets that are multi-use tend to have quite a large amount of rebound built into them. And I know from consumers, often people are looking for us to say, you know, can't we develop a helmet for multi-use? But that the downside of that is that we struggle with this huge shear forces that are created when you have a huge amount of rebound. So we're investigating with a number of testing houses how we can perhaps measure rebound, because that can halve the shear forces that are generated in the brain. So you don't necessarily have to have a more effective helmet. You just have to have a helmet that works with the head and the brain. And whilst the literature has been talking about rebound for decades, really the people have said, well, we don't really know how to deal with it. But now we're going back to fundamentals and looking at the effect of ignoring rebound, is starting to bring it up on the agenda again and saying, well, you know, we need to not just keep making helmets bigger and heavier. We perhaps need to look at some of the characteristics that we're building into helmets.
Now, you know, I know equestrian is a really small market compared to some of the others, you know, bikes and motorcycles and sports. Who does the majority of the research there? Is it driven by the football players, the motorcyclists, the bicyclists? Where does that come from?
Well, you're right. I mean, if you're talking to a government and you're talking about the impact on major health issues, then obviously accidents on the road do drive that. And so there is there's a lot of research that's done, you know, by government or government-funded organization and research projects into that. But, you know, sometimes when you're doing those research projects, people tend to just look at accident reconstruction, and the conclusions are, you know, maybe changing the safety environment and changing, you know, saying, oh, we need higher standards, we need to deal with higher speeds. The research community don't always go back to those principles. I think that's the thing that's really interesting. And in fact, I'm finding that when I'm talking to neuroscientists, when I'm talking to the brain imaging people, when I'm talking to the engineers, I mean, engineers who normally look at developing helmets and measuring helmets, they often are thinking about breaking things. You know, engineers like to measure the forces at which things break. And one of the topics that I've been trying to introduce is saying, well, yes, breakage is important. You know, skull fracture and breaking blood vessels, creating bleeds is important. But there's also something else going on. We're dealing with a living organ. And I've been able to really refocus the fact that the force that is applied is a poisoning in the head. And actually what happens is when we bang, we release poison into our brain. It's broken. And that's why when you go to the hospital and you have a CT and stuff like that, they just say, do you know what? Everything looks clear, but that's because the CT scan is looking for structural breakdowns. It's not the poisoning. And quite a difficult concept for engineers to think about is, I'm trying to prevent poisoning of the brain through impact. How do you go about that? But they're not really interested in how helmets can prevent injury. What they're developing, the pill that they can sell you, to precondition you to an impact. They would want to sell you another pill that will help you deal with trauma, and then they'll want to sell you another pill that will actually help you recover and the cover that
Well, Roy, we've run out of time here. I know that Charles Owens participates in International Helmet Awareness Day, which is coming up on July the 12th, Saturday, July the 12th, around the world, not just in the United States, but all over the place now. And you have a ton of different helmets available, I know. Just real quick, what would you say if people are going out and taking a look?
Well, certainly there's, we've got some new models coming in. There's new ideas for ventilation. The V8 is something that people might want to look at. It's got, an interior that you can launder, as well as having additional ventilation features.
Thank you, Roy. Charles Owen, what's the website? Is it charlesowen.com, or is that what it is here?
That's it.
Okay.
Yes, just sometimes people type Charles Owens with an S, but it's just Owen, just singular.
Well, just to remind everybody before we finish off the show today that International Helmet Awareness Day is July the 13th?
12th.
Yeah, I got it wrong already. It's July the 12th, which is a Saturday, so there's no excuse not to be able to get out to your local tack shop or get online to order a helmet. And your helmets will be up to 20% off that day. 15 different helmet manufacturers. By the way, Lindsay, I didn't even know there was 15 different helmet manufacturers.
There's actually more than that. I think there's about 20 total, but we've got 15 of them to take part, which is very, very good.
Wow, who knew? So yeah. Anyway, there's a lot of helmet manufacturers involved, and I'm sure that they have them at your local tack shop there. If you want to find out if your retailer is involved, there's a big map, right, Lindsay, on?
Yes, there is. On Riders for Helmets, and that's the number 4, and Riders and Helmets has an S. RidersForHelmets.com/IHAD for International Helmet Awareness Day.
And there's a big map. You can look up the retailers in your local area. Plus, there's a lot of online ones as well. So
that's right. And don't forget about the discount on the to your listeners on the High Visibility range as well.
High Visibility North America. You go to HighVisibilitySportswear.com if you want the High Visibility products that we all wear here at the Horse Radio Network when we're out riding and driving. You just put radio as the coupon code at checkout. You receive 20% off your entire purchase, whether it's summer or winter or dog or horse or people products. It doesn't matter. It's 20% off your entire purchase. It was kind of them to do that for the listeners of the Horse Radio Network. Get your orders in today. We'll be back tomorrow morning here live at 9 a.m. on Horses in the Morning. Jamie will be back. And, of course, it is Celebrity Trivia Day. So don't forget to tune in at 9 a.m. Thank you till another month from now, Lindsay. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Bye.